in the other room.
Yes, thank you, Jim, for the time that you've had teaching our auditorium class. It's been a blessing as a pastor to have others that can teach and stand there. And you've got mail. I'll get it to you later. But in looking at those things, I thought we would move forward a little bit in the chapter. As he said, he's got the material. If he wants to work on it, he can. But in the brevity of time that I've got for this, I've opted to move a little bit further into Matthew chapter 18. As he was working on that, I wanted to move forward to verse 21 through 35. We'll try to cover this last section here in Matthew. I'm not purposely skipping over verses 15 through 20, but I felt that this was a better topic to look at this morning, and that is forgiveness. We've touched on it along the way as Christ has addressed this issue, which I really find interesting that he does, and yet in our own lives, is forgiveness one of the hardest things for us to do? I mean, you can go ahead and say yes or no, you know, based on your own, you know, your own personality, but I do tend to find that forgiveness is one of the hardest things for us to do as human beings. Why is that?
Pride?
Selfishness? Have we been hurt in some means? Sure we have. What is the natural man's human response when we've been hurt?
Retaliate,
hurt back, revenge. And that tends to escalate, does it not? And gets out of hand. Something that was so minor, all of a sudden, is now blown out of proportion. And you have the old Hatfield and McCoy issue. The feuding that goes on because of something really insignificant. And yet, there they are, you know, shooting at each other, ready to take out the others. So I thought it would be well to look at this passage. So let's have someone read verses 21 through 22. We'll stop there. He gets us into this. So 21, 22, okay?
We'll
open up with a word of prayer. Well, we're getting there, so.
Okay, right. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven."
Okay, let's open up with a word of prayer as we start our class. Father, we thank you for this time. And we can open up your word and see the teachings that you have, Father, for us. Help us to learn. And to help us to follow through in our own lives as we look at forgiveness and see the power that is there and the blessing that comes from it within our own hearts and lives. And I pray that you would instruct us and lead us to go in the way that you would have us to go as believers. And thank you for the time that we have this morning now in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I appreciate that, you know, Christ, and I say appreciate, he has touched on this. We've seen it a little bit in the Sermon on the Mount. He touched on it there. He'll touch on it in other places through the course of his ministry. And to me, this is kind of the location that Christ is speaking on forgiveness, because this is a lengthy portion from verse 21 all the way to verse 35. In the Sermon on the Mount, it's a couple verses. In Luke, it's a couple verses. And so he just kind of touches on it, but it's like, okay, those are fine, these are good, but here, now we need to really focus on this and draw us into what I would say is the marching orders, the true example of why we forgive on a human level. Because he's going to give us a story that takes us beyond just the human side to show us really the spiritual side, the impact that God has concerning forgiveness. And so Peter brings up the question, How often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. People will speculate, seven times. What's the number of seven when we think of in the scriptures? What does it signify? Perfection, completeness. You know, God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Well, he did it in six, but he rested on the seventh, but that completed it. And we see that, you know, often noted through the scriptures, that that is a number of completion. And whether that's the specific reason, that's, you know, that's all speculation in some regards. But to think of that, you know, to forgive someone who has wronged us seven times. Hey, we're being magnanimous, are we not? Yes, in a sense. But forgiving. I appreciate that word. What does it mean to forgive as we stop to consider this? I mean, what is to forgive? Is it just the words? You know, someone comes up to you, somebody's done you wrong, they've sinned against you, and they've come to you and they ask for forgiveness. They realize that they've done wrong. And you say, I forgive you. Is that what forgiveness is? Just speaking those words? You don't hold it against them anymore. I mean, words mean nothing unless there's truly actions put behind it. Because we can say words all day long, can we not? And have a bunch of nothingness. But when we're looking at this particular item, since that's what we're looking at this morning, that forgiveness is not just saying, I forgive you, but then, yes, truly, I forgive you. I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. Whether we did or not when it happened, but since they have come to us asking for that forgiveness, and we do need to have that heart of saying, yes, I forgive you, with the backing of our actions, that yes, I'm not going to, this is not going to affect our relationship as we move forward. We may have to mend some fences, sure. But it's not going. I'm not going to be bringing it up constantly before you and putting it in front of your face. That you remember, what you did to me, and I'm going to hold this here. No. To forgive that is to forgive that. To set it aside, put it behind us. And so Christ answers him with this idea. I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now is Christ being specific here? That's 490 times. No, he's not. He's given a large number, yes, to note that you are to be forgiving. You know, you don't pull out your little notebook that you have in your pocket or pull out your smartphone and look at your tally. You know, we'd have a huge tally, wouldn't we? Because we'd have to name everybody that we've ever met. And put those marks, if you want to put hash marks, yep, okay. He's up to 360. I still have to forgive him. But the day's coming. 491, no more. No, that's not what he's getting at. It's like, you can take him up to 490, still forgive. But when you get that 491st one, now you don't have to forgive. No. He's just expressing a larger number beyond the seven to say, no, you forgive. Why? Why are we called upon to forgive? Because God forgave us, and that's where he comes to now our story, if you will, for the rest of this passage. So who would like to read verses 23 through 35? We need to kind of keep it all in one bundle, if you will. Jim?
Matthew, what chapter are you in?
We're in Matthew chapter 18. I think you were stepping out when I mentioned that. Sorry, Jim. Okay, Mick?
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. and when he began to sell accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me. I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him.
Go ahead, verse 35.
So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass.
Okay, so as we look at this story that God, Christ gives to us in kind of response to the question that Peter's given him, you know, how often? Till 7 times? Nope. Till 70 times 7. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened. So now he's moving us into really the real realm of forgiveness and why. Really the why of forgiveness. Why should we be forgiving our fellow man? Because he gives us this picture. Who's the king in this story? Who ultimately is the king or the Lord in this story?
Christ,
the Lord. The two servants are us. Mankind, if you will. And we see the relationship between the king and the one servant and what was done there and how that impacts us and how person to person interacts. And so he lays that out, and we have this king. He'll also be called Lord, using the word of master, showing that relationship. Does it matter why the man is such in debt? No, that's not the point. We don't need to figure out how in the world did this man get so far in debt. That's immaterial. It's he owed a debt, and he owed an extravagant debt. And it shows us the necessity, really, of forgiveness. As we look at this king, he comes to settle accounts. Is God going to settle accounts with humanity? There is a day of reckoning. We will all stand before our God one day, both as believers and as the lost. Now, we as believers, do we have to be concerned about our forgiveness before our God in that point? No, we've already been forgiven. Ours is to how have we lived the Christian life for our God? But that's kind of not beside the point, but that is part of the point that he's bringing us to here, that there is going to be a day of reckoning. We're going to have to give an account. And as we're looking at this forgiveness, this man owed him 10,000 talents. This is an extravagant, astronomical debt. I mean, 10,000 talents. A talent was a weight of measurement for precious metals of about 75 pounds. You do the math, That's 750,000 pounds of gold, silver, he doesn't tell us, which precious metal, 75,000. As I was working on this, it notes it takes 3,000 shekels to make a talent. And as one commentator put it, he notes this was the equivalent of 30 million days' wages. How is our debt before our God as a lost person? Is it comparable? Yeah, it is. Our sin debt before our God is huge. Can we pay that sin debt? No, we can't. And God is bringing that, you know, home to us in this passage and noting we do have a huge debt before God, a debt that we cannot pay. Though we've racked it up, that day of accounting is coming. And there is a means of having it taken care of, yes, through Jesus Christ, but apart, you know, in and of ourselves, we can't. And he notes that here with this huge sum. The servant is unable to pay, so what does he do? Does he run off? Say, if I skip the country, I'm not going to have to worry about this because they'll never find me. Yeah, he pleads for mercy. He says that, he falls down and worships. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. The threat given in verse 25 is the Lord is going to have everything sold. You owe me this. It's the day of reckoning. It's time to pay up. Well, I can't pay that. Well, fine. Then we'll sell you off. We'll sell your wife and children, everything that you possess to try to rectify this sin debt, this debt that you have, and ultimately picturing our sin debt. We can't repay that. This man cannot repay it. So he falls down and worships him, begs him for forgiveness. You know, I'll pay you. I'll do what I can. Just hang in there, in essence. Give me time and I'll get this repaid, this 30 million days' wages. Again, we don't know how he lost it. But instead of that, what do we have happening? Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. As he sees the contriteness of this man, he forgives him that debt. Obviously, this is of, I would say, is this a wealthy king? I would think so. If he's going to forgive that huge a debt, you know, you owe me 750,000 pounds of precious metal. Yeah, I forgive you of that. You know, on a human reasoning, I don't know that I would. That's a lot to give back to me if you've taken it from me. But God forgives him. Why? Well, again, when we look at this from that realm, is that anything to God? No, it's not. Does he have the means to forgive us? Yes, he does. Even though we owe him a huge debt, we've broken his laws over and over and over again. But he has the means to forgive us because we have the Lord Jesus Christ who paid that debt for us. And again, I trust we're all believers. We understand that. We know that Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, paid our debt. Our sin debt has been taken care of. We don't owe God. That debt has been satisfied. Here it's not, but the king forgives it. He satisfies the debt, yes, by saying, I forgive you. You do not owe me this. So as we consider this, and that's why Christ is bringing this up, this huge sin debt that we have to our God, to our King, has been satisfied as believers. God forgave us. He remembers it against us no more. We have those verses. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he separated us from our iniquities. I'm kind of paraphrasing that verse. Does the east meet the west when we travel? No. I would tell students when I was teaching and touching on these things, grab a globe. And to use that phrase from the yellow pages from decades ago, let your fingers do the walking. And take your fingers on that globe and travel west. Let me know when you're traveling east. Well, Mr. E, that's what I was known then, we're just keep going west. There's no going east. I said, okay, turn it the other way. Go west now. Tell me when you're going east. It's not working that way. Yes. That's the way it works. God's forgiven us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And those sins are not going to be brought back to us. He's not going to hold them in front of us and use them like we would try to do sometimes with others as a whipping, a means of degrading. As far as the east is from the west, as depths buried in the depths of the sea, he gives us all sorts of these pictures to let us know, I've taken care of your sin debt. It's paid for. You don't have to be concerned about it anymore. Because through Jesus Christ, that's been satisfied. God is satisfied with our sin debt because of Christ. So that moves us on to the second phase of this story. If we have such a huge forgiveness, and we do with our God, how does that affect us in our relationship then with our fellow man? Should be the same. We have the prime example of forgiveness in our God. He's forgiven us our sins. All the things that we have done against him have been forgiven. Again, they're not going to be remembered against us. He's not going to dangle them in front of us. They're gone. And so how does that then provide us opportunities to our fellow man? It should show us, demonstrate to us that we too can forgive. Because does our fellow man, have they incurred such a problem between us and them as we did with our God? No, let's look here. As he noted, as this servant is relieved, verse 28, he says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 to keep it in those days' wages, for comparison purposes, if you will. 30 million days' wages. We have 100 days' wages here, a pence or a denarii. It was basically a day's wage back then. So here between these two servants, he owes him 100 days' wages. Is that doable to repay? It is. It can be done. But it's 100 days' wages. To be quite honest, is there a comparison between 30 million and 100? No, it's not. And Christ is being purposeful with that. There's not any proximity of those two. 100 days' wages, that's something that's reasonable something that can be fixed, if you will. But what does this fellow servant do? Again, we're talking fellow servants, so we see some different words, if you will, in the relationship, because he's before his king. He does bow down before him because he is below him in rank, if you will. And so he brings that out. He asks for that patience. But now we see this servant finding a fellow servant that owes him. Does he follow suit? Does he take the example of his king? No, he doesn't. We find that he grabs him by the neck and demands that payment now. Did the king demand the payment? Yeah, he did. You know, it's the day of reckoning. It's time to pay up. Well, I can't do that. Give me time and I'll pay it. I forgive you. I see the contriteness. I see what's here. I forgive you. But his fellow servant falls down at his feet, verse 29, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Are those some of the same words that the other servant did? Yeah, verse 26. Saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same words, have patience with me, and I'll take care of this. Even though the one is an exorbitant amount that he probably could never pay, his fellow servant says the same thing. Have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. Does he take from the promptings of the king? No, he doesn't. In verse 30 he says, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till the debt should be paid. Or should pay the debt. He says, no, I want this money. So off to debtor's prison you go till you pay. Now, is he following his Lord's example? No. Because what did the Lord do when he begged and said, yes, I'm here before you in contriteness. I'll pay you. Just give me time. No, he cast him into prison. Did he have the right to do so? Sure he did. The man owed him 100 days' wages. He has the rights to do so. But he has an example in his own life of showing something very different. And he chose not to. He cast him into prison. You're going to pay me because you owe me. We see in verse 31, his fellow servants, others, who have viewed this whole event. They've seen the one servant with his king and how that went. They've seen how the two fellow servants, the equals, if you will, how that one that was forgiven so much now is not having compassion. He's not doing anything moving to be helpful to his other servant, toss him into prison. They are very sorry. They're saddened by this. And so they go and tell their Lord all that was done. They come back to the king. King, and I'm sure they were troubled by it. King, you know that servant you forgave that huge debt? Yeah. Well, he went to Henry. Henry owed him 100 days' wages, and he cast Henry into prison. It reminds us, does God watch and see our activities? Yeah. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows our interactions with people. He knows everything. We can't hide it from him. The king calls him back, as we see in verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desiredest me. He calls to his attention, I forgave you that debt. What did you do with that information, in essence? Shouldest not thou, verse 33, also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? I had compassion. I provided the means of forgiveness for you. Shouldn't we take that example? That spiritual, that heavenly example, and now put it on the human plane? And the answer is, yes, we should. Christ is our example. God is our example. We're to follow his steps, as he reminds us elsewhere. But he says we should have had compassion. And his Lord reminds above that. And he says, and his Lord was wroth, verse 34, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. He says, fine. That debt that you owe me, it's back on the books. He notes here, verse 35, as he kind of wraps it up a little bit. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, as we've likened this to salvation some, I should have alluded less to that. Can we lose our forgiveness, our salvation in Christ? No. This man is called upon to repay his debt that he owed because he was unwilling to forgive his fellow believer. He's bringing us to this idea that we are to be forgiving others, but noting if we are unwilling, God's going to do the same to us. And I bring this to this realm here. You know, our sins have been forgiven. God's not going to revoke that. And so I should have not gone down that road as tightly as I did. But as believers, do we still sin? Yeah, we do. Have those sins been forgiven in Christ? Yes. We may not have understood it, but when we trusted Christ as our Savior and asked forgiveness for our sins, it's not just the sins from birth until that moment that he saved us for, relieved. It's all our sins, the past, present, and future sins. I think sometimes we forget that aspect, but when Christ died, he paid the penalty for our sins, for us. When Christ died for our sins, what were our sins in this timeline? Past, present, or future to Christ? My sins were all future. I hadn't been born yet. Did he know all my sins even before I was born? Obviously, yes. He knew them all. And he paid the penalty for them. But yet we sin after we're saved. As Christ would give the example to his disciples as he washes their feet, the dust of this world gets on our feet. We have those daily sins that we may come across, and we need cleansing. So we have 1 John 1:9. If we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to seek his cleansing. When that time comes and God reveals, yes, you've sinned against me, come seek my forgiveness. But God notes here, it's going to be hard to seek his forgiveness when we find that sin in our lives. And we have been unforgiving of our fellow man. He says, you come to me and I'm not going to be forgiving you yet. Yes, the sin is addressed in Christ. That's not Again, that's not what I'm dealing with. I should, as I said, I should have removed that thought from there. I apologize. But as we come to him seeking that forgiveness, he's going to remind us of that. And he has a way of doing that. Christ gave us an example of that one coming to the house of the Lord with his gift, but he has an issue with his fellow man. What did Christ tell him? Leave the gift there. Go take care of the issue with your fellow man. Get it right. Now you're ready to come before me. That principle, that idea is what's truly being expressed here. Can we forgive another person? Yes, we can. For the very reason, because God gave us the example when he forgave us. And he dwells within us. He gives us the power to do so. And I have found it through my life, one of the truly the most empowering thing, liberating if you will, is to forgive those people. Not necessarily because they came to me, because the forgiveness really should start before they ever come, but to forgive them. Whether they come to you or not, in this whole idea of forgiveness is helpful, yes, because it gets us back onto a personal relationship that should be good, but for our own selves, to get that release, if you will, but also to keep a good relationship with my God. I was, to give an example a little bit, I've noted some things about my growing up when I was saved back on in eastern North Carolina by that creekside and that trailer. My mom was not living the best of lives before her three kids. And the kids knew it. And decades go by, and something those things had come up for some reason with my younger sisters and mom. Mom was denying it. I think maybe some dementia had settled in. And I talked, my little sister was talking to me about these things. She was a little frustrated with that mom's not taking ownership of this. And I told her, I said, have you forgiven mom? Have you told mom, whether in speech, a letter, that you have forgiven her for those things? She said, well, yes, I have forgiven her of them. I said, no, but did you tell her? She said, no, I hadn't. A few days go by, and she lets me know, she said, what a great burden has been lifted. I did tell mom, and I feel so much better now. It's not waiting on the person to come to us and ask for forgiveness. That may never come. But it's forgiving them in our hearts already. Because if we don't, we run the risk of a root of bitterness rising up in our hearts. Because we hold that. They haven't come to ask for forgiveness. And I'm not going to forgive them until they come to me. No. Forgive them. The forgiveness is a two-way street, yes. But it has a greater impact on us when we're willing to forgive before they ever come. Because we don't know if they will come, do we? We don't. I think of some things that have happened in my own life where I have forgiven them and they seemed rather incredulous that I did because they thought they were doing the right thing. And I said, no, I forgive you. Because that's on me. My heart is clear with them. They've been forgiven. And it releases us from that burden of carrying that unforgiveness. Because of what Christ did. Yes, ultimately. God's forgiven us so much. How could we not be willing to forgive our fellow man? So may we learn, if you will, that lesson from this as he brings this out to us. Again, in this fuller context, we've been forgiven much. Truly, we can forgive those that have trespassed against us in much smaller measure, and find ourselves pleasing to our God, remembering that, yes, if we don't, God's going to hold back on us. So it's not, again, a matter of waiting for them to come to us, because they may never come to us asking for forgiveness. And if that's the case, according to verse 35, could we ever get forgiveness with God when we sin against him? No, we couldn't. If they've never come asking for forgiveness from me, for me to give it to them, then I could never get forgiveness on my part with my God. But because I have forgiven, again, whether they came to me or not, I have forgiven them. We can reach out to them and let them know. I have that cleansing on that, I have that release, and now I'm okay with God because I can seek his forgiveness and he will forgive me. Because I have forgiven this other person, whether they came to me or not. And so I trust we can learn those things. And oh, like Jim, I'm over, so pastor's going to get upset with me. We've reached. Do we have any questions? Yes, Austin.
Can you truly forgive but not forget? It's always convicted me. I can always forgive, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially if they continue doing it over and over and over again. Yeah, you can forgive them over and over and over again. But is that, are you truly forgiving them if you can't forget it? And it's always convicted.
I wouldn't go down that road and say that, because I mean I've just talked about things that I remember. I haven't forgotten them. I mean we can't forget them, in a sense. I mean God can help in that situation. I'm not going to say that he can't, because he can. He's God. But it's, to me, the motivating factor is, how are you remembering it? Are you remembering it, as I've kind of noted, are you remembering it so that when he comes to you or she comes to you, you can kind of hold it against them? Then I would say that's not forgiveness. But if I'm remembering it, but kind of in a benevolent way or an ambivalent way, neither good nor bad in a sense. Yes, I remember the event. I remember many of those events that I've had where I have forgiven someone. It may caution us in how we work with them, but we should truly forgive them and not have that being held over them. I saw another. Okay, I saw both hands at the same time, so he's going to defer to the elder.
Not his, let it go. Just let it go. Sometimes we forgive, but we hang on to a little bit of that, you know.
No.
And it's still there. And you've got to let it go.
Yeah, we need to let it go.
It goes, though it never happened.
Yeah.
I've had that situation where the person was worried. And you, well, I've done you wrong, you know, and he couldn't forget it. And I said, I'm letting it go. Don't worry about it. It's done.
Yeah.
We're beyond that.
The forgiveness has been given, and yes, there's that issue, and we can show them that by being forgiving, and they can move on from that. Tracy.
What's an interesting element of this whole scenario, because God forgiving the servant later recalls the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, does that suggest God didn't forget it either? But yet also God recalls to him and he asks him to, now you repay. So
yeah.
how do you reckon, maybe that's too much to unpack too, but it's almost like because of the servant's unwillingness to forgive, now did God repent of his forgiveness in that situation? Or is this a different debt?
I would say that he has repented. We've used that word, and that opens up a whole new can for other things. Sure. But I would say that, yes, God has repented of that. In that sense of where we see at times God repents, it's not for him, it's not a change of mind, because he knows. Since he knows everything, he knows the timeline of this event. So he already knows what he's going to do here, because they didn't do this.
I guess that's a lot to unpack in that time.
But right, yeah.
It just kind of, you see that, mm-hmm. at least that
God does remember, yes. He recalls it to mind, so I think it touches on that. Yeah, it brings it back up. So yeah, these are things that we will need to close off now that we're moving farther in, but we may come back to this at another time and delve into these issues a little bit, but appreciate your attention, and let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and blessings. We thank you that you have forgiven us through the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins. And Father, you have given us the great example of how we can forgive, because you have forgiven us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we interact with folks, both our own fellow believers, our own family members, our co-workers. It doesn't make it unchallenging. For mankind is primarily lost, except for those that know you, obviously. But Father, those interpersonal relationships are there. They're real. And help us as we live the Christian life, show your forgiveness. We have the means to forgive because you forgave us. And we can demonstrate that to our fellow man. And Father, it may very well open the doors to show them why we can forgive, how we can forgive, because you forgave us. And we will have that opportunity to build on redemptive relationships of showing them that Christ paid the debt for their sins as he did for ours. Help us, Father, to learn and undertake these things and see them lived out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.